Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. You can now watch Uprising on Free Speech TV, which airs on Dish Network Channel 9415, DirecTV Channel 348, and on hundreds of part-time cable affiliates and on Roku. Walmart made a surprise announcement on Thursday that it would be raising wages of its 500,000 U.S. workforce to $9 an hour by this April and then $10 by next February. In a press release, the world's largest private employer said, quote, Walmart has represented a ladder of opportunity since it started, and the company wants to ensure that this remains a vital part of the Walmart experience. The company's reputation has suffered serious blows for years now for paying poverty-level wages to its workers, ensuring that a very large fraction of them have to rely on government assistance to survive. Walmart has also faced scores of lawsuits for gender discrimination, among other things. But in the past 2 years, union organizers have been working with some Walmart employees to agitate for better conditions and wages. The group Our Walmart last November led the first coordinated sit-ins at Walmart stores in the history of the companies. And employees have also launched a number of one-day strikes and walkouts during busy shopping days, such as Black Friday. So does the new move to raise the base pay of Walmart workers mean that the company has salvaged its ugly reputation? Joining me to answer that question is Josh Idelson. He is a reporter for Bloomberg Businessweek and a former salon writer who has closely followed the activism by Walmart workers. His latest article is entitled Walmart May Be Cheap, But It Would Rather Give Up Money Than Power. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, did you see this wage raise coming, or were you blindsided even if you've been following the story?
I think this is a dramatic move and not one that I think many other observers would have seen coming a week or two ago. Certainly, this is less than what Walmart could do, and it's less than what both Walmart employee activists and folks outside the company have been agitating for. But it's more than a lot of people would have expected a couple years ago, when for the first time we started to see coordinated U.S. retail store strikes at Walmart, something that had never happened in the company's 50-year history. So when you look at a $9 or $10 wage floor, certainly that's less than what many people would consider a living wage, and it's something that many Walmart employees in certain states would have, or municipalities would have had to be paid under upcoming or current law, or are being paid anyway. Still, for a company that currently has some employees making $7.25 and that is famous for not being overly generous in the way that it pays people, or for that matter, suppliers, this is a big deal. And a $9 or $10 wage floor is a major change in how Walmart is going to be seen and how Walmart does business, though it's an incremental one.
Let's get into some of these numbers. The Daily Beast did an analysis of the wage raise, and it said Walmart's workforce is split about evenly between full and part-timers. Part-timers will make $17,500 a year if they work 35 hours a week for about 50 weeks a year. Full-timers will make $26,000 working 40 hours a week for 50 weeks. So for a two-person household, the federal poverty line is $15,930. For a four-person household, it's about $24,250. So we're talking here in the best-case scenario, workers just barely being above the poverty line with Walmart's new wages.
Right. This policy is not an end to Walmart being a working poor employer. It's not an end to Walmart workers being in poverty. But it is a step, and the latest in a series of steps over the years that Walmart has made that at least have the potential effect of dampening or complicating outside or internal criticism that it's got, whether from workers or environmentalists or others who have gotten in the way of Walmart's reputation.
As far as you can tell, will the wage increase change much about workers' reliance on public government assistance?
Well, it remains to be seen what the breakdown is, and the question of exactly how well Walmart pays is something that has been hotly contested over the past couple of years.
Right, and can you address that for a second, too? I mean, why is it so hard to get numbers on how much Walmart just pays its employees very specifically before and then even after this raise might take effect?
So Walmart has put forward a series of numbers which have then been contested by activists. Activists have put forward numbers that have been contested by Walmart. Walmart had a figure it was using for a while, which left out part-time workers and included management. Activists put forward figures, including one from Glassdoor.com. There was a funny moment in which Walmart chose to brag at a Goldman Sachs get together about the nearly 500,000 at least employees in the U.S. who were making more than $25,000 a year. Activists then took that figure and said, well, doesn't that mean that the majority of Walmart workers in the U.S. are making less than $25,000 a year? And so certainly being able to say we have a $9 or after 6 months training, $10 next year wage floor gives Walmart a much snappier, more succinct response to criticism of being a so-called poverty employer. And it will move some people and not others.
But do you attribute this move by the company to the pressure put on it by our Walmart and these organized walkouts? I mean, granted that only a very tiny percentage of Walmart's workforce has even been able to have the courage to or been able to risk their jobs to do the kinds of things they've done. I mean, I can't imagine that Walmart just out of the goodness of its heart, in a vacuum, decided to do this.
Sure. So certainly you can point to labor market factors, you can point to nudging from the White House, any number of factors. But I think it is difficult to ignore the role of, again, the first coordinated walkouts at U.S. Walmart stores in the company's history in the United States. This is something that has captured tremendous media attention. It's something that's gotten in the way of Walmart's relationship with its customers, with the media, with cities in which it's trying to expand. And it's a kind of tactic that we increasingly see as political and economic and judicial changes have made it more difficult to do strikes that shut down and disrupt production. Increasingly, unions and labor groups, in some cases like our Walmart, a non-union labor group backed by a union, have turned to the set of tactics that use strikes but as an anchor on a broader campaign of political and legal and media and consumer pressure, where the goal of the strike is not primarily to shut down the store. The goal of the strike is to capture public imagination and develop worker leadership and demonstrate workers' willingness to make sacrifice and put themselves on the line and take that risk and use that strike as part of a larger array of weapons to beat up on a company until it reaches some kind of accord.
What about the fact that other companies like The Gap and IKEA in recent months also voluntarily increased their base pay? Does that add to the sort of pressure that Walmart might have been feeling?
I think it does. And I think it speaks to the fact that there is a larger environment of attention to low wages combined with greater ambition and different horizons in terms of what's seen as reasonable when it comes to decent pay. And that can be credited not only to Walmart workers going on strikes, but also in part to the other efforts, high-profile walkouts by workers like fast food employees or subcontracted janitors at Target, that this wave of strikes has helped to shift the conversation in terms of how much we're talking about low pay. And the fact that now there's conversation about $15 pay rather than $9 something.
Right. So let's go back to what you touched on earlier, which is that, of course, there are plenty of Walmart workers living in states where their state minimum wage, and maybe even in cases where the local city level minimum wage is significantly higher than $9 or $10 and already at $9 an hour, maybe higher than that. And so we're only talking about those who are living in areas where the federal minimum wage holds that this rule would impact. Do you have any sense of what impact this decision will have on Walmart's bottom line?
Well, Walmart certainly can afford this. There was a study by Demos looking at how retailers like Walmart actually spend more in many cases on stock buybacks than what it would cost to pay $12 or more dollars an hour to their employees. The point has been made that retailers also can save money. Companies can save money when they pay employees more. If that leads to more productivity, and it leads to lower turnover. That's not to say, as some people on the left have claimed, that Walmart's business model currently doesn't work for Walmart. By all signs, Walmart's business model is working decently to very well for Walmart. It is to say that Walmart's business model is not the only business model that's available to Walmart. Mm-hmm. And you can look at the success of higher wage companies and say, actually, there are different ways to turn a profit. And if Walmart moves towards a different model, even incrementally, that continues to make a profit but involves higher pay for employees, then there are all kinds of positive benefits for the larger economy. That said, many workers would like to see Walmart go much further than so far it's announced it will.
Of course. And I mean, there's also the sense that given the size of Walmart, that this is, you know, the world's largest private employer, that to do this, even just in the United States, could it have a sort of economic stimulus effect, not just for the economy at large, but probably even for itself? I mean, when workers are paid more, chances are many of them are going to spend some of those extra dollars at the store itself.
Well, if Walmart workers take the extra money and spend it at Walmart, then that's more money that Walmart will receive that way, as well as more money that potential other employers will get from Walmart workers who now have a little more money in their pocket. Again, we're talking about workers who in many cases will still be in poverty under this new wage system.
And what about Congress and pressure on Congress? There's been a lot of pressure from Democrats in the White House to raise the federal minimum wage, and Republicans have been just completely intractable on this issue. Even those Republicans whose own constituencies might have voted in last November's elections to raise their states, our cities' minimum wages, does this move by Walmart shame Congress and those congressional lawmakers who are standing in the way of a federal minimum wage increase?
Well, shame is somewhat subjective, but I don't think it will prompt them to pass a minimum wage increase. When you look at the United States now, this year we have a majority of states with a higher wage set than the federal minimum wage for the first time since 2007, which was at the time the first year in a while where that happened. In 2007, we saw a federal minimum wage increase. The difference is, for that increase to pass, it had to get past Republican President George Bush. That is a much lighter lift than trying to get a wage increase past a Republican House and Republican Senate under the current alignment and context that we have in U.S. politics. I don't think that John Boehner's House or Mitch McConnell's Senate is going to pass a federal minimum wage increase. And what that means is that that pressure, rather than having some kind of release through Congress, is going to continue to bubble up on the one hand against private employers with workers demanding they act to raise pay or to begin to bargain collectively over pay. And on the other hand, in states and municipalities, whether via referendum, via legislation, to make some kind of increase. And that's something that we've seen. We saw in November, as I've written about at Business Week, four red states that sent Republican senators to Congress in the same election, on the same election day, decide to raise pay. We've seen cities go much farther than what's being talked about in Congress, going even eventually to $15 an hour, in some cases pairing a minimum wage increase with some kind of other benefit, like regulation around scheduling. And that is the trend that we will continue to see.
So finally, Josh, how has our Walmart, this union-backed non-union group that is helping to organize Walmart workers, how have they responded to the announcement by Walmart to raise wages to $9 and eventually $10 an hour, given that one of their, first of all, it's just one issue that they're fighting for higher wages, that there's a whole slew of other issues, but then the wages that they're fighting for are about 50% higher than what Walmart is offering. They want $15 an hour, and Walmart has basically put 10 on the table.
Right. So as you'd expect, they've said this would not have happened without workers going on strike and protesting and sitting in, and it's not enough, and that they will continue their efforts, as you would expect that they would. The question is whether, to what extent this fuels the momentum and leads workers who may have been on the fence or may have been too scared to get involved. Keep in mind that 20-some workers who went on strike with our Walmart subsequently were fired by Walmart. Whether some of those workers who have chosen not to get involved or step back their involvement will now step it up. The other question is whether the public campaign here, this is in significant part a campaign that's about Walmart's image, has a more difficult time continuing to keep public pressure on Walmart if Walmart is seen as not the worst actor in the bunch. And so that's a challenge for the campaign.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Josh, as always, for joining us today. And we'll link to your article from our website at uprisingwithsonali.com. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Josh Idelson is my guest. He's a reporter for Bloomberg Business Week and a former Salon writer who has closely followed the activism by Walmart workers. This is Uprising, and we'll be right back after this break.